Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Gives up LeBron, square on three.
The bottom for three. 3-0. Cavaliers lead by four. He did it again.
Gives it up. Kevin Love sends it.
Oh, Love is in the air at the cue.
It's a case of who was going to have the ball last in one of those games. We went back and forth there, especially in that second overtime. George was great. LeBron was equally great, if not better. Great to be a part of. Great to get the win.
We executed defensively. Offensively, we're horrible. But we got to get a lot better, you know, going down the stretch with our late game because we all know playoff basketball. You're going to be in one and two possession games. And, you know, but it's a good win for us. Now, I got to do a better job. I'm not, you know, showing up my teammates out on the floor. I had the right intentions in my mind, but I had the wrong intentions, you know, came out of my mouth. So I take full responsibility for that.
We family. A little miscommunication in the huddle. Move forward.
William on the drive.
You know, when stuff like this happens, it kind of makes me shake my head and go, you know how many times this could have happened and it didn't happen? So the fact that it never happened, that doesn't mean I went home thinking it's never going to happen. I mean, I knew this was coming at some point. I'm just shocked that it took this long to get here.
Inbounds, midcourt. It's ball game. Gonzaga is going to be playing Monday night for the national championship. And Meeks, Carolina saves it on the glass.
How about that?
The best rebounding team in college basketball is headed to the title game.
We try to break this thing down as easy as we can for our guys to assimilate. And I got a really, really smart team this year that we can throw stuff at. You know, we're shuffling through all our things that we like to do on offense after watching them that we think we can do and going to try to play off those things. But at the same time, we're 38 games into it or something now. So we're both kind of we are who we are. But my guys are pretty adept at making those reads, and hopefully they'll be good tomorrow night.
We're playing them in the preseason NIT. For some reason, I got seven or eight guys wear headbands out. They kicked our tails, and I went in the locker room afterwards and said, get those headbands off. I'll never see those again the rest of my life, Bob. So no North Carolina players ever wore it. So Mark Few changed our program in some ways, but it is respect.
Welcome to the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
What is going on? Welcome to the extravaganza right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, where we are. Toledo's sports leader. Hope you're having an outstanding start to your Monday. Hell, what the hell? You're if it's 3 o'clock, maybe your Monday is almost over already. How about a great Monday thus far? And it's just starting for us, though, however, as we bring you 2 hours of scintillating and sensational sports talk. Why did I just go Dick Vitale? Almost completely. I know it's the national championship game tonight. Maybe that's why. But I just did scintillating sensation. No, I'm not going to do it. Well, but we do welcome you to the program. We've got a lot to talk about, a lot of good stuff in the montage there. And how about this? Despite having the Cavaliers Pacers highlights, followed by Love and LeBron and Tristan Thompson talking about some a little bit off the court stuff there. Well, on the court, but off the court on the sideline, a little yelling match going on, which we'll get into. The buzzer beater. With UConn falling, the women, after 111 straight victories. Somehow, UConn did not score more points than their opponent in a basketball game. And how about one of the classiest post-game press conferences in defeat you were ever going to hear? because I think that's what I just heard from Gino Auriemma. Then we had some Final Four, a little bit of Mark Few and Roy Williams. Of course, they're set for the championship showdown tonight, two number one seeds after all that. After 64 teams, I don't count the playing games, after 64 teams started this thing down to two number one seeds. The South Carolina Cinderella story did not come all the way to fruition. The clock did strike midnight. It's number one seed Gonzaga, number one seed UNC back in the title game after having their hearts ripped out by Villanova at the end of last season's championship game. They're back again. And then we've got some other things we're going to talk about, too. But nowhere in the montage can you find, or will you find, the number one story that I'm going to lead with today. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me why I want to start with women's golf. But I do. The story that we heard a little bit about earlier today, and if you're a golf fan, I'm a cash golf fan. First of all, even when it comes to the Masters, it becomes a lot more exciting for me when there are the majors. Obviously, it's Masters Week and U.S. Open, and especially when we have history, being made, that sort of thing. It becomes a lot more exciting for me whenever, we do have those kinds of tournaments. It's also a lot more exciting when you can play fantasy golf, by the way, and put some money on the line while having some fun with friends, which I'll tell you about in a little while. But I'm a casual golf fan, and I'm not as much of a women's golf fan, an LPGA Tour golf fan at all. So I wasn't watching it, and you probably weren't either. It's one of the ladies' tours majors, if you will. The Inspiration, and ANA Inspiration, and Lexi Thompson's story was one that is just, it's reverberating, I think, around the sports world right now, and rightfully so. Lexi Thompson had a huge, she had a very comfortable lead. Coming out Saturday's play, she shot a 67. She had a three-stroke lead. She was playing very well on Sunday. And then, of course, everything fell apart. For those who don't know what happened, the situation is this, just in a nutshell. All right? Somebody with no life, some television viewer with no life whatsoever, who thinks they want to interject themselves into other prominent people's worlds, and think they have the right to do so, was watching the tournament on television on Saturday, and they saw Lexi Thompson mark her ball on the number 17 green. All right? She had about a 12-inch putt. I mean, literally a tap-in. It's the kind where if you're golfing with anybody you know, anybody you've ever met, they would look at you and say, pick it up. It's a 12-incher, okay? I mean, it's a make 100 times out of 100, right? But she still likes to. It's just because part of her tradition of putting. This is how everybody has a routine. You know, bowlers have a routine on exactly how many times they spin the ball in their hand before they put their fingers in the holes. They have a routine on their steps. They have a routine on everything. Free throw shooters, at least especially really good ones, they dribble it a certain number of times. They spin it or they do whatever they do with their feet. You know, everybody has a routine. Well, so for golfers, their putting is routine. And whether they need to really mark the ball or clean the ball or anything else or not, a lot of times that's the routine. They're going to mark it, put their coin or their marker down. They're going to pick it up. They're going to wipe it off, maybe spin on it, whatever the case might be, and then sit it back down and pick up the marker, and on they go. Her routine is to pick up her ball and put it down with the little stripes or lines that she had drawn on it facing the hole, just kind of indicating there's the stroke, which is fine, which is what lots of people do. So her routine is to mark the ball, pick it up, line it up, put it back. Well, apparently she put it back about a quarter inch closer to the hole than she picked it up. Somebody saw the gap. Somebody saw a little bit more green between the marker and the ball when she put it back down than there was when she picked it up. Now I want you to think about how incredibly insignificant that is, first of all. Then I want you to think about how incredibly insignificant this person's life must be to see that insignificant quarter inch and say, oh, she misplaced her ball. She cheated. She deserves a two-stroke penalty for that. So this nobody got on their little smartphone or pulled out their little laptop or whatever the heck it is that nobodies use and send an email to the LPGA fan site, their fans' website, during the final round on Sunday and point it out. You know, I was watching on Saturday, and Lexi Thompson is winning this tournament right now. She didn't put her ball back down in the exact same place that she picked it up on number 17 on the green. That email arrived, by the way. Not, again, this is very key and this is very important to point out. See, and the discussion here is about rules. The discussion here is about fairness in all sports. This is a golf story, but we can talk about it in a number of different capacities, and I will. And I'll ask you too as well. And I'll ask Jim Cushlin and Frank Argano to do that as well as we go. But just bear with me. So this is a larger issue, but I'm focusing solely on the golf aspect of it right now. So this fan, this nobody, this loser, and I don't know if it's a male or a female. I don't know if they're old or young or somewhere in between. I don't know if they are athletic or not. What I do know is they are a loser, whoever they are. And I hope they have to be publicly identified for costing somebody a major championship, as we'll get to at the end of this story. But they didn't send this email right after it happened. In which case, because let me kind of go forward in order to go backwards. The email arrived as Lexi Thompson was on number 9 on Sunday in the final twosome of the day for obvious reasons. They are the leaders. Two rules officials got the email and then went to the TV compound to look at the videotape. And they decided 3 holes later, as Thompson walked off the number 12 green with a 2-stroke lead, that she would be penalized 4 golf strokes. Like 4 golf strokes? What? Well, 2 of the strokes were for mismarking the ball, not putting it down in the exact same spot, being off by a quarter inch. That's a 2-stroke penalty. And then because she walked off the course thinking she had scored a 67 on the day on Saturday, when in fact now that they retroactively penalized her 2 strokes, it should have been a 69, they give her another 2-stroke penalty for signing an incorrect scorecard. Wait, what? Yeah. That. Okay? So she goes from being up 2 to down 2 in the tournament on the 13th tee. She's only got 5 holes left to play. Think about that for a moment. Well, 6 holes counting the 13th. Think about that for a moment. You're up 2, and all you got to do is kind of keep parring, maybe mixing a birdie or 2 down the stretch here, and you're probably going to be fine. She goes from being up 2 to down 2. 4-stroke penalty. Now let's go backwards a little bit. It would have been one thing, and terrible enough on its own, if this loser fan who has nothing better to do with their life had sent that the moment that it happened. It still would have been terrible. But number one, it would have only resulted in a 2-stroke penalty had the rules officials gotten this email, looked at the videotape, and then said, yeah, that happened. It would have only been a 2-stroke penalty because then she wouldn't have signed a scorecard that said 67. She would have signed one that said 69, and she wouldn't have had a 4-stroke penalty. That's number one. But number two is, even if there had been a 4-stroke penalty, if you know that going into Sunday's championship play, you at least know where you stand. And you have a fair opportunity to approach the game or the round the way that you would if you were down a couple of strokes instead of in the lead by a couple of strokes when the day starts. But somehow, for some reason, this nobody fan decided, I'm not going to call until Sunday. When they're on about the 9th hole, or not call but email, when they're on about the 9th hole. And then by the time they finally decide what to do, she's already headed to the 13th tee. Which, by the way, to Lexi Thompson's amazing credit, she birdied by nailing a 25-foot putt. She then birdied the next hole. Talk about, you know, incredible mental strength and an ability to control her emotions. Simply amazing. She briefly regained the lead before eventually having to go into a sudden death playoff where she lost. And the difference, by the way, in case you're scoring at home, the difference between first place and second place in this tournament is about double the money. About $450,000 for the winner, about $250,000 for the second place finisher. An absolutely ridiculous rule, a ridiculous set of circumstances, the ridiculousness of the rules officials only being exceeded by the ridiculousness of the fans sitting at home watching TV and going, rewind, replay, rewind, play. Oh, I see a gap there. I see it's about a quarter inch closer. I'm going to email and affect the outcome of a professional sports tournament. You know what? I'm going to back off that a little bit. When I said the ridiculousness of the rules officials exceeded only by the ridiculousness of the fan at home, and reverse it. The ridiculous of the idiot fan at home exceeded only by the ridiculousness of the rules officials who decide to listen to fans at home. Since when are spectators sitting on couches allowed to make decisions, scoring decisions, in a professional sporting event? I mean, for God's sake, that would be like on the game-winning touchdown pass in an NFL game, somebody at home seeing an obvious hold that the line judge missed. The line judge staring at the line, maybe it was had his eyes on a different guy, totally missed somebody being dragged down by their jersey. But the fan saw it. Beep, 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 boop, 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 boop. Hello? Can I have Mike Pereira, please? Or can I have Dean Blandino? Yeah, take a look at frame number XX429 in the game between the Vikings and the Lions. Take a look at the hold right before the touchdown pass was thrown. Oh, my God. You're right. There was a hold there. All right, we've got a fan-caught penalty. It's going to cost the Vikings 10 yards from the spot of the foul that the fan noticed that we missed. Touchdown is wiped off the board. Let's get everybody back out here and let's keep playing. Are you serious? There's something very, very wrong going on here when the rules officials listen to the fans. And that there is even a... Why is there a fan website? In all seriousness, do you have any Major League umpire's email address? I don't. Do you have any NFL official's email address? Do you have Blandino's? I don't. You have any NBA official's contact info? You got an NBA official's cell phone on speed dial in your phone? Yo, 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 Joey. Man, no, man, you totally missed the hand check. I got it freeze frame right here on my big screen. Total hand check. Absolutely. Should have been a foul. Guy should be at the line. They were in the bonus. Shoot the 1-1. You know what? Thanks. We're going to go back and watch that. Let me get the headset here. Yep. Jimmy in Toledo, somebody who goes by Kush, saw a hand check. Let's check it out. Look at that. Sure enough, it was. Should have whistled it. Let's put him on the line. Put the point guard on the line. And let's replay this. Reset the clock, please, to 7.4 seconds. We have the hand check called by Kush in Toledo. What the hell? You don't have that number. I don't have that number. Nobody has that number. Why does golf have a fan website where fans can watch TV and say, I saw something amiss? Let's let the sports officials, the tournament's officials, know what I noticed and have them act and react accordingly. This is one of the dumbest things that I think I've ever seen in sports. How serious am I about this? Serious enough that I've led a show that could be previewing the national championship game tonight. I've led the show that could be talking about a dust-up between two members of the defending NBA champions last night, one of which happens to be the best player on the planet. I've led a show that could be talking about UConn losing its 111 for the first time in 111 games. I've led a show that has so much more going on right now that you're probably interested in than women's golf. I've led it with women's golf. That lets you know how big this is. That lets you know how ridiculously stupid this is. And I want to know if you feel the same way. 866-240-1065. 866-240-1065. We'll put you up and on the radio. We are guest-free this hour, so we'll just get you whenever you're ready. Dial us up, and we'll put you on. You shouldn't have too long of a hold time. Jim Cushlin, Frank Gargano. Thoughts.
Yeah, my first thought is I have heard of these the fan kind of websites for both PGA and LPGA out there in the past, but the fact that the tournament officials can decide to make a move based on that, yeah, that's all kinds of messed up. And I'm glad you put the equivalent of say an NFL replay or something to that effect, and a fan could call in and have the outcome, you know, change. That is beyond ridiculous. I don't mind them having, you know, these fan comment sites and things like that, but
I do.
To have it be
I
able
do,
to
because that means that somebody's monitoring it. Golic was talking about this morning. Why are you checking emails to see what the fans have to say? You know, instead of making it a fan, you know, contact site or whatever you want to call it, if there's a blog, fine. If there's, you know, social media, we're going to use hashtag ANA inspiration, something like that. If fans want to, like, talk to one another about a tournament as a tournament is going on, that's fine. But why do they have a direct line for fans to contact the tournament officials, thereby allowing them to somehow interfere with the outcome of an event?
Yeah, that's the part that I have a real problem with. How is it that just because a fan sees something, he or she now has more authority than the actual tournament official, and they can then reference that and say, oh, maybe you're right, we're going to have to, you know, retroactively give the penalty. That's ridiculous. That's completely ridiculous. I have no idea how somebody even let something like that be allowed.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
you know, there was various meetings about putting that kind of site and things like that together, and nobody clearly brought up that, you know, if we let it go like this, one time a fan could call in, see something legitimate, and then we a day later or something have to affect the tournament. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, and that, bingo, that's the key. It wasn't just that it happened, which is terrible. It happened a day later, 13 holes into the final round. You know, Greenberg asked this morning this question. What's the statute of limitations?
Good call.
What's the timeliness here? What if somebody didn't call until today? And they said, you know, 2 days ago, back on Saturday, in the third round of the tournament, she picked up her ball and put it down a quarter inch closer to the hole than it was. Oh, well, you know, you're right. She did. We're gonna charge her two strokes for doing that, two strokes for the incorrect scorecard, and now that the tournament ended a day ago, we're going to just dock her four strokes from whatever her final score was. Hey, look at that. It makes her go from first to second place. Are they going to take the trophy and the check away from her and give it to the runner-up because somebody pointed something out a day later? What if it was 2 days later? What if it was a week later? What if it was, I mean, when the NFL, the NBA, and they've done this, you've seen this, the head of officials will acknowledge, we would like to acknowledge that there was a call missed in this game. We would like to acknowledge that we blew an obvious call that maybe the TV commentator saw, but our officials did not see. It was maybe one of those not reviewable circumstances,
sure.
You know, but the play is not reviewable. So, but we do acknowledge the blown call. The officials involved will be dealt with. There will be, you know, maybe disciplined or maybe, you know, fined or not assigned to a, you know, a playoff assignment or whatever the case might be. But we do acknowledge a mistake was made. That's how this had to have been handled. Because you know what? They've got two different officials on every hole. One watching balls in play in the fairway, rough, or water, wherever it is, and one around the green. If the official watching on the green did not see anything wrong with it, then how can she have been expected to have known there was something wrong with it, talking about Lexi Thompson herself?
Yep.
And thus, when she signed her scorecard, she thought she was signing a perfectly legitimate 67. Then you say, and you also signed an incorrect scorecard because you really had a 69. A day later, when we docked you two strokes and put you from 67 to 69, there is no logic here. It makes no sense whatsoever. They need to do what the NBA has done, what the NFL has done. We acknowledge an error was made. We will work toward, you know, fixing that. But they're never going to overturn the decision.
Right.
They're not going to overturn the victory. They're not going to go back and give the Lions that playoff victory. Right. They're not going to go back and give the Cowboys that playoff victory over the Packers when Dez Bryant made that obvious catch. They're just going to say, yeah, we screwed up. And by not, that's a bad example because they actually stuck by their guns on that one because of the process of the catch, which is crap. But you understand the point.
Yeah.
The point being that they're not going to go back and change the outcome. They're just going to say, we acknowledge that a mistake was made. We're sorry about that. Congratulations to the winner. We'll do better next time. That's how they got to handle this.
Yeah, that is. I mean, because to actually have it be allowed to affect some kind of outcome, I'm still trying to wrap my head around how that is even possible. And then when I try to compare it to another sport like an NFL review and some random fan being allowed to call the replay center and have them look at something and that actually be legitimate, that's kind of the equivalent of what we're talking about here. And that would never fly for 100 different reasons.
That's exactly right. I want to play. Frank, did you have any thoughts on this before we get into to what Golic said?
We got some calls coming
okay,
in on this
Frank
one.
Frank is talking
way.
To people on the phone.
Yes.
Well, you know what? Good. You answer the phone calls. I want to play this. Now, everybody who listens to the show knows I don't always agree with Mike and Mike. I listen to them every morning, and some days I rip the hell out of them because I cannot understand what they're thinking. Or why they're, it's the nature of sports. It's what we do. They have opinions. I have opinions. Everybody has an opinion. But I like the show, and I encourage you to listen to it every day here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, every morning. And sometimes I agree with Golic, and sometimes I want to smack Golic. Same thing with Greenberg. But this is one of the times where I can't fist bump Golic hard enough to say, right on, preacher man. Here's Golic on this ridiculous thing this morning.
We read the email. All you can do is say, oh, well, we didn't see it. I'm not going back because some emailer emailed in.
Well, but if they're correct.
So what?
Correct.
So what? That should not an email or a phone call from a listener or a viewer or an email shouldn't start your investigation into something.
So
no.
How should that work? If a rules official had seen that on TV,
if the player doesn't admit to it, or it's not, aren't there people walking the officials walking with these groups?
Yes, but you would never have noticed that. That's
okay.
My point. Unless
then that's
you're
the
standing,
way it goes.
Right.
Then that's
what,
if the officials don't catch it there, if the player doesn't catch it, then you move on. You move on. Isn't this supposed to be this game of trust and all that?
That's the
okay.
point.
Okay. Yeah, I get
trust
it.
Trust,
so,
but verify.
Okay.
to
but
use an old
I'm
expression.
I'm not using a phone call or an email from any kind of viewer that says, oh, you know what? Because of this email, I went back and look at this. You get the email and you say, and you go back and you know what you say? Well, we missed that one.
There's another part of this that also is interesting. Stugatz I happen to notice that my text popped up. Stugatz is listening, and he just sent a text that says you can't, and he knows that you can, so I think he means to say you shouldn't, give a two-stroke penalty for signing a scorecard that at the time was believed to be correct.
Right.
She did not knowingly sign an incorrect scorecard. Now, again, this has been the rule of the game forever. They just changed it. It used to be that if you had signed
a scorecard, disqualified.
Even unknowingly Done. Signed an incorrect right. scorecard. That was the controversy that Tiger Woods almost, we thought, was going to get disqualified from the Masters a couple of years ago. Remember that when he went back and put the ball at the Masters in the wrong place when he hit the ball in the water, and then he went back and people thought it was in the wrong spot, and people went crazy, and people were saying he should disqualify himself,
right,
and all that. This has been the rule in golf for a very long time. So all I'm saying is I would like to see it changed because that just feels wrong. Like some things just don't
very
pass
simple.
The smell test.
Don't
this
listen,
didn't pass the smell
don't
test.
Listen to the, don't follow up an email or a phone call. We read the
don't email. Even don't even have that, right? Why are you giving rules officials email addresses out to the fans? It is not their place. Let me ask this. What if it would have been somebody in the gallery? What if somebody in the gallery, not somebody watching on TV, had seen it and said, you know, I think she moved that ball a quarter inch closer to the hole. I'm going to tell the rules official. Oh, really? Well, this guy says you did that. Are they going to go under the hood right then and there as if it were, the NFL, you know, in a replay challenge? Are they going to go under the hood and say, don't putt yet, Lexi? Don't putt yet. We'll be right back in 10 minutes. We're going to go to the TV compound and we're going to look and see. Because some dude over here in a hat with a beer can holder on top of it, who's sucking beer through a straw, says he thinks you moved the ball a little closer than you should have. Hold on a second,
challenge.
Lex. We're going to check that out. And then if they come back and say, yeah, you did. Now, first of all, in a normal world, if that something like that happened, well, it's already past a normal world if that happened. But, you know, what ought to happen is here is it's not quite in the same spot. Let's replace that and put it back a quarter inch. That's the right punishment for a crime that nobody really ever thought was committed, especially when the player herself did not intentionally do it. That's the right quote-unquote punishment. Put it back. But even if you are going to say, okay, you know what, you did mark it and then you replaced it, that's a two-stroke penalty. It's only a two-stroke penalty. That's it. Tell her on the spot. And then she signs a 69 at the end of the day instead of a 67, and there is no second two-stroke penalty. But would they listen to a fan in the gallery, I wonder?
No, and they shouldn't, although in the hypothetical you laid out, at least it would have been taken care of that day. That's the only positive I can say about that theoretical. But that's
over the
line,
too. But I don't
think
they would. Most of all, like I said, for somebody sitting at home, and I don't care if that somebody's in Los Angeles, California, or in Bangor, Maine, or Fort Lauderdale, Florida, or Boise, Idaho, somebody on a TV screen, I want to interject. I want to interfere with. I want to make my presence felt in this golf tournament. One of the majors. I'm going to make my presence felt, and I'm going to email them and tell them to change. This is going on in Rancho Mirage, California, and somebody from thousands of miles away might have called in and said, hey, why don't you check this out? And they said, sure will. Thanks, Steve in Boise, or Jim in Bangor, or Jim in Toledo, as we said before. Rob is in Rossford. Maybe Rob would have called in. I don't know. Rob, you're on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Is this the dumbest thing you've ever heard, or am I off base?
Yeah, this is pretty much the biggest BS thing I've ever heard. To me, it's like last year in the college, when I think it was Western Michigan against Oklahoma State.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, good one.
You're right. I know what you're going to say, but go ahead and tell the story.
And they had it shouldn't have been a play, but they let them have that extra play, and they end up scoring.
Yep.
And end up winning the game.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And Oklahoma State was undefeated with the exception of that loss, and there was a question as to whether or not the committee should consider them undefeated because or were they a one-loss team? I think they're a one-loss team, and maybe the Western loss made it two because of that. And they're saying we should be treated like a one-loss team, and thus in the top four, where Oklahoma or somebody else was, you know, was threatening to be. But because you know we got screwed, out of a victory because somebody else made a decision and gave Western an extra play, and of course they scored the game-winning score. That's a great example of it. That's insane. If they're listening to fans or listening to people watching on TV.
That's all I got. Thanks for taking my call.
Great reminder of that, Rob.
Yes, by the way, Oklahoma State, that had two overall losses, Central Michigan,
right,
and then Baylor 2 weeks after that.
Or Central, not Western. I think I said Western Michigan. Excuse me. Central Michigan. Thank you. So that's a great example of it. I mean, you know what's next, Jim? Seriously, as we go to Jerome in Toledo. Jerome, thanks for joining us. Give me 1 second while I make this point. You know what? You know what's next, I think? What about the actual announcers? You know what I mean? If you're Jim Nantz calling a golf tournament, just to say, you know, the Masters is coming up, okay? If you're Jim Nantz, if Cush in Toledo can contact the rules officials and say, I saw something that's amiss and affect the outcome of a tournament, when is it going to be that the announcer does?
Good call.
We hear announcers all the time. That should have been a hold on you know, Mankin.
Sure.
You know, that should have been pass interference. Look at his hands are all over, and the official couldn't see it at game speed, and it's not reviewable, but we can see it because we just reviewed it, and it's clearly his hands are pulling on his jersey. They missed defensive holding / pass interference there. That's a very bad miss. So because they do have the connections, the announcers radio down to whomever, and they tell the official, the replay official, you know, you guys aren't allowed to replay it, but we saw it. Tell them down there that we saw pass interference. And let's make sure to mark that as a spot foul right there, first down there on the 10-yard line.
Yep.
It would be ridiculous.
Totally ridiculous.
And maybe it sounds even more ridiculous because we're into the I'm going into another sport. So if you want to do staying golf, let's say that Nance or somebody called in. Is Nance going to be on the mic?
I believe so.
usually is. But anyway, whoever it is, you know, if they see something like that, you know, I think that ball is mismarked just a little bit. Please get the rules of the tournament director up here so that we can point out that we think a ball was just misplaced there. Jordan Spieth is about to strike a ball that has been mismarked. And you know what? That's going to be two strokes. And better yet, or worse yet, what if it happens the way it did in this tournament on a Sunday? And Nance didn't say anything Saturday, but he said, you know, I slept on it, and I really think I need to tell him. And then they tell him, say, oh, and in addition to doing it the wrong way, now you know, the guy signed an incorrect scorecard, too, so it's a four-stroke shift. I think it would have to happen to somebody much more popular than Lexi Thompson. I don't know who Lexi Thompson is. Maybe it would have to happen in the men's game, which is still eminently more popular. I don't know why I was about to say possible. Popular than the women's game. And maybe it would have to impact somebody like Jordan Spieth or Rory McIlroy or Tiger Woods or something like that before people would say, this has got to stop. But this really, really has got to stop. If fans can do it, why not announcers? Jerome in Toledo. Thanks for waiting, Jerome. Go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. I have to call and talk to the Hammer. I haven't called in for a while.
Good to have you back, my friend. I appreciate that.
Listen, my thing is this. You're a sport. You do sports show. So let's stay with sports show. We don't want you to do anything else. If you're official of golf, why didn't an official out there that watches everything, why didn't they see that?
That's a great point.
My other point is this, and it's a little off, but I gotta make it.
Okay.
I remember watching a baseball game when the guy from Detroit threw a no hitter, but the guy ran down and Jim Joyce missed the call.
Yeah. That was against the Indians. That was against the Indians.
Right. They didn't change it.
That's right.
They didn't change it. And they saw that right there. How can you have someone call in a day later and say, oh, man, we got this. We got this. Golf should be ashamed of theirself. It's time for them to leave. Oh, this is the gentleman's game. And we just got to be politically correct. It's just got to be right. Fans, call in and let us know. It's a bunch of garbage. They need to stop this, my friend, and go in another route. They know it. You know it. And I know it. But it's got to be a gentleman's game. Don't pull your pants up too high. Don't bend over at the golf. Let's just play the game. If there's a mistake, there's somebody there to catch that mistake. If they don't catch that mistake, you got to let it go. Let it move on.
Well said. That is exactly the point. They have an official on the scene, and if an official misses the call, the official misses the call. The fan doesn't get to replace the official.
Does golf have instant replay?
Well, apparently they do because somebody called in and said, hey, watch the replay on TV. And somebody said, hey, we're going over to the TV compound to look. I don't know if they actually have official, quote, instant replay policies. But somebody emailed in and said, hey, you missed something. Go watch it. And they went and watched it in the TV room or TV tent.
So if they didn't catch it when they should have been catching it, leave it alone. Bingo. Let it go. They ruined that girl's day. She was a mess. That's not right.
And you know what? She still had the guts and the mental strength and stamina to fight through and make it to a playoff, which I give her all the
credit. There you go, my friend.
Hey, Jerome, thanks for the call, brother. Appreciate it. Good to have you back on the air. 866-240-1065 if you want to join in as well. Got to get a timeout, but since we're talking golf and the Masters starts up on Thursday, let's get your team pick for fantasy golf on FanDuel. If you're not doing fantasy golf on FanDuel, you are missing out on some of the most fun that you can have while watching a golf tournament. If you like winning cash prizes, you got to try this. Just pick 8 golfers for your team, stay under the cap, salary cap that is, and you'll score points for eagles and birdies and pars and more. Contests start at just $1, so there's something for everybody. You watch your score live as it goes, and you win cash prizes. This Thursday, the $750,000 Golden Eagle Golf Tournament begins with $100,000 going to the first place winner, and that only costs you $4 to enter. Think about that. Hurry up and submit your lineup before tee off on Thursday morning. And by the way, baseball season started officially yesterday. Indians and Tigers get started today. And guess what? Daily fantasy baseball on FanDuel is back as well. You got to check it out and have some fun with us. Over 2.5 million players have won cash prizes playing fantasy sports at FanDuel. Experience the fun and excitement as never before. To get started, new users like you will get FanDuel's combo 5-pack valued at up to $50. You'll get it free. 5 free entries to a combination of 50-50 beginner contest. Just finish in the top half to win the cash. That's right. To get your 5 free entries from FanDuel.com, go to the website FanDuel, that's F-A-N-D-U-E-L.com, and click the Join Now button, and then enter my name, France, into your promo code, F-R-A-N-T-Z. That's FanDuel.com, promo code France, F-R-A-N-T-Z, void where prohibited. Great, great Monday. Glad you're with us. Right back after this.
Be part of the extravaganza right now by calling 866-240-1065. Now back to the Bob France extravaganza on 1065 The Ticket.
All right, 3:53 now on ESPN 106.5. The Ticket. Get a few more phone calls in here before the top of the hour. But Jim Cushlin just came up with some bad news about the Tigers' start, yes?
Yes, indeed. The tarp is on at the now stupidest stadium name in all of sports, Guaranteed Rate Field in Chicago. Tarp is on. Supposed to be a 4:10 start time. No announcement on how long this delay will be. There's rain all over this whole region here. A little bit of Cleveland going all the way back to Chicago. It's one of those uglier day, so not sure how long the delay is going to be, but the 2017 Tiger season opens officially on a rain delay.
Is that official, by the way, the stupidest name, or is that just
that's according to me.
Okay, I'm curious. During the top of the hour break, let's do a little digging.
Okay,
let's find the name of every arena or stadium or ballpark, if you will. And let's see if we can find any worse than Guaranteed Rate Stadium.
I will start looking for that.
I'm kind of curious because I think I can probably think of a couple. It might not beat it, but it will certainly push it. And so we'll do that.
All right.
Let's go to Point Place, though, right now. Dan is with us on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. Hey, Dan, how are you? Dan, can you hear me?
I was listening to Mike and Mike this morning, too, and they had a men's tournament. This guy was up near the top. And on the one hole, he picked up the, you know, marked his ball, picked up the ball, cleaned it, and I guess he put it in his pocket. Well, when he reached in his pocket, here he had another ball, and he grabbed the wrong ball, finished the round with the wrong ball. Then when he was in the dressing room, he realized it. He told them, and they disqualified him for the thing because he didn't use the wrong ball.
Yeah, that's the rule that up until last year, I believe, is what they were talking about this morning, too, on Mike and Mike, that you probably heard. They said that if something like that happened up until last year, the rule was you are disqualified from the tournament. If you mark the wrong scorecard or, you know, sign an incorrect scorecard or, in this case, use the wrong ball or whatever the case might be, that you're disqualified from the tournament. Did they say how long ago that was?
I don't know. I thought they just said a couple years ago. Somebody called in and told them that or something, and I thought it was like some big time celebrity or
I wonder how
golfer.
Anybody would know, you know what I mean, because generally speaking golfers will use the same brand of ball. If you use the Titleist 2, you're using the Titleist 2. If you're using you know Max,
well,
Vibes,
I don't know, but I guess he realized he used the wrong ball,
so. yeah I mean, it's goofy. I mean, and listen,
but I say that would be a lot more money to be totally disqualified than finishing.
Well, you're right. First of all, because if you're disqualified, you get nothing. Whereas in this case, she still finished second, so she got, you know, $250,000 or whatever it was. But here's the other point of this. In your scenario, at least this was the golfer, right? This was the golfer himself who, once he realized he had put the ball in his pocket and pulled out the wrong one and played the rest of the round with it. That's what the game has always been about. That's where the gentleman's rules have always come into play, where you do indeed report your own infractions. That I can live with a little bit more than, in this case, a fan interjecting and interfering. Because, again, this woman or this pro, Lexi Thompson, did not intentionally do that any more than the guy in your story did. But she didn't notice it, and the officials didn't notice it. And so, therefore, it should just be that's the end of the day. But the idea that a fan can go ahead and have such a major impact on something to me is...
Well, the other thing you didn't bring up, Golic kept saying he didn't play by any of the rules.
Well, he doesn't play for money, so he can go ahead and play. He can use the toe wedge anytime
he
wants.
Oh, he plays for money. He plays, you know, pocket money.
Well, I meant he's not a pro. You're right. You're right about that, Dan. I just mean he's not a pro, so if you're playing with your buddies... If you're playing with your buddies,
and, beer,
yeah, it's kind of like when you're playing one-on-one basketball with your friends. You call your own fouls.
Yep.
All right. Hey, Dan, thanks for the call, my man. Good stuff. Let me get to another Dan. This one's in Toledo on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. Hi, Dan. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What do you think about this?
little bit different take on it. Golf being a gentleman's game, a fair game, if they're going to allow the armchair guy to be the referee, then they need to have everybody in the field, every stroke videoed. They're just singling out. If you're not to the top of the leaderboard, chances are you're not going to be televised.
Bingo. That's exactly right. You're not going to be televised. In other words, what if you're say 8 strokes back going into the weekend, but it's still striking distance depending on if you have a good round. Let's say you go 4 under and, the leader goes 4 over, suddenly you're tied. But because you're 8 strokes back, you are not having every shot on camera. And you do something like that, nobody will ever have seen it, and you just keep on playing, and you go on, and you catch the leader, and you win. As opposed to if the person who's on the leaderboard, every shot is televised, every movement is televised, every put marking of the ball, et cetera, et cetera. You can tell anything that they might do. It's easy to catch. That's a very, very fair point. It's an unfair playing advantage for somebody who's trailing over somebody who's leading.
Right, and another thing I'd like to see, let the LPGA release the name of this gentleman that called in and feed him to the media.
Amen. Amen. I would love to know who it is, and not to the media.
And I think that would stop a lot of this, mama's boy in the basement calling in stuff.
Yes, though, you're right. Because you know what? These people are embarrassed. They'll be embarrassed in their private life. They'll go to work and people will mock them. Their families will mock them and say, dude, you just cost a woman $250,000 because your nosiness, for crying out loud. Let them play their game. That's a good point. I would like to see them publicly embarrassed. I don't want anything bad to happen to somebody, obviously. But you know what?
Right.
I really ought to
be
embarrassed by this.
But like you alluded to earlier, you don't know what this gentleman's bias may or may not be.
Correct.
He might have been the brother or friend of, Suzanne Patterson or whatever. We don't know.
Well, here's another thought, and I don't know the answer to this, but can you gamble on golf? And I don't mean FanDuel. I mean where we're talking fantasy golf, which is fine. But yeah, what if it was somebody who didn't pick Lexi Thompson on their FanDuel, just for example, as one of their golfers?
Right.
And they saw something like this, and maybe they do have as one of their golfers, or maybe they put some money on a tournament in Vegas or wherever the case might be, online gambling, and they put some money on whoever was trailing her. And you're right. Maybe they did this for nefarious purposes, to help line their own pocket. That's a very fair point as well. All right. Hey, Dan, thanks for the call, pal. I got to run. If you're on hold, stay where you are. I'm coming right to you after the top of the hour Sports Center, which is now on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
George, a three to tie, and he does! Paul George with another three. JR, corner three. Got it! 2.8 to go! His name is JR Swish!
The fadeaway.
Got it! Kevin Love has got 3 buckets in the second overtime.
Pacers need another shot. George, here's
got a jumper, and he has 40.
Kyrie Irving gives it up LeBron. Square on three.
Kevin Love sends it. Oh, Love is in the air at the cue.
It's a case of who was going to have the ball last in one of those games. We went back and forth there, especially in that second overtime. George was great. Braun was equally great, if not better. Great to be a part of. Great to get the win.
We executed defensively. Offensively, we're horrible. But we got to get a lot better, going down the stretch with our late game, because we all know playoff basketball, you're going to be in 1 and 2 possession games. And, but it's a good win for us. I got to do a better job. I'm not, showing up my teammates out on the floor. I had the right intentions in my mind, but I had the wrong intentions, came out of my mouth. So I take full responsibility for that.
We family. A little miscommunication in the huddle. Move forward.
Santana's going to lead off. Frankie's going to hit second. Brandt third. Encarnacion four. Ramirez five. And then 6, 7, 8, 9. I've changed it about 3 times. We'll see. Yandy's such a good young hitter, but it's his first time. I'm just not sure. I want to be fair to him also. And then you just try to look at balance and who's in their bullpen, things like that. It's hard to explain for somebody that maybe hasn't lived through it. Like part excitement, part nervousness, small part maybe terror, a lot of anxiety. But, man, what a feeling. And when I said that, it probably doesn't sound like it. I wouldn't trade that for the world. It's the same feelings every year, and it never changes. I mean that in a good way.
You know what? I think this team quietly feels like there's some unfinished business. And I just think that if everybody stays healthy, led by Verlander in that starting rotation, that this team is going to surprise some people and get into the postseason. I love Cleveland. They've got a really good team. But I also believe they're going to take a step back as well. This much I can promise you. The Tigers will not go 4-14 against Cleveland this year as they did last year. Well, if you look across the diamond, I mean, you look at Castellanos, who to me looks like he's matured. Very seldom have I seen a guy go in 1 year to mature physically, mentally, the way he eats, everything that he does. The infield intact with Kinsler and Iglesias. You got Miggy. You got good players here. The health is going to be a key. And those three kids in the rotation are going to be very important. McCann, also the center fielder. Jones, also very important.
This is the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
All righty then, hour number two is underway right here on the Extravaganza, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. We are Toledo's sports leader. Hope you're having a great Monday. Really good conversation in the first hour, and it looks like it's going to continue at least for a while because some people on hold still want to have their say on the LPGA story from yesterday. And it's weird because, again, under normal circumstances, I would clearly be all about tonight's NCAA championship game. And by the way, I am. I am absolutely 100% pro Gonzaga. I want to see Gonzaga beat UNC. No, I have nothing against UNC at all, by the way. None. No rooting interest in it from a, hey, I don't like these guys standpoint. Like the way I root against the Seahawks, or I'll root against the Patriots, or I'll root against the Cowboys, or something like that. But it's just, I love the Gonzaga story. I've wanted Mark Few to get his championship. I've wanted to see a team that's from a quote-unquote mid-major conference knock the big power conference boys off their pedestal once in a while. And Gonzaga has had great regular seasons in the past, and they made decent tournament runs, but never to the Final Four and never to the Final Two, never to the championship game. I want to see him complete the mission. I think it would be just a phenomenal story. So I'm really looking forward to that, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that. Maybe I will as the hour goes on. Obviously, baseball starts today. Jim Cushman reported, looks like we got a rain delay for the Tigers and the Sox in Chicago, so that's going to be a problem. I hate starting the season that way. You know, all that anticipation, weeks and weeks and weeks of spring training, building up to opening day, and then you got to wait more because of rain. It's one of those things, there's nothing you can do about it, but it is what it is, but it just still stinks. Indians, of course, supposed to start as well. We got the season underway yesterday. The defending champion Cubs already in a hole. What are you going to do now? Cubs lost to the Cardinals last night in their season opener. So, at any rate, a lot of things to talk about, but I'm still stuck on the LPGA story is what I'm trying to say. And Lexi Thompson getting absolutely hosed out of her championship yesterday at something called the ANA Inspiration. That is the first major of the year for the ladies. All right, Dave has been waiting in Toledo ever so patiently to get on the line. Wanted to have a say about what happened yesterday to Lexi and the fan calling in to the LPGA fan site, or I should say emailing in and costing her four strokes and a victory. Dave, go right ahead. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan kind of made my point here before the top of the hour, but this whole camera thing, isn't there a camera on every green? Somebody could correct me if I'm wrong, especially at an LPGA major. And then when you take that a little bit further, you got an average golfer goes through 28 to 30 putts per round
right
in the pros, if I'm not mistaken. And we got, what, 100-plus female golfers vying for this major championship? How many thousands of putts is that? Do the math. I'm not going to, but we can't go back now, and we're going to look at every single person and every single putt, and every time they put the ball back down, get it put exactly the same place that it was picked up from and marked to begin with, and we're going to start handing out more penalties. And on top of that, you can also use whatever ball marker you want, if I'm not mistaken. If somebody knows any different, they can correct me, but some people use a ball marker as big as a silver dollar. Some people use a ball marker back to the smallest attack head. So they kind of said that, well, you couldn't see her ball marker when you put the ball down, but then you could see her ball marker when she put it down the second time. So if you've got a big, huge poker chip behind there, or a big, huge lucky charm or something that's as big as a silver dollar, you're not going to see, you're not going to hide the ball behind that big ball mark. So just a couple of points I thought just needed to be made. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, you make a very, very good point. Now, to your first point about the number of putts in a round, that you would have. You're right. You'd be talking over the course of a tournament anyway, thousands of putts certainly. And while they're all there is a tournament official, a rules official on all of the greens. Not all of those thousands of putts are going to be on TV, which is of course the problem here. Clearly, the rules, the official at that green on 17 on Saturday didn't see anything wrong with her placement, which should be the end of the story right then and there. If the official on the site didn't see anything wrong, maybe he was looking away, maybe he was engaged in a conversation, maybe he was looking at, the next golfer walking up or whatever the case might be, they didn't see anything wrong, that should be the end of it. But if they are going to go back and be retroactive and say, hey, we're looking at TV monitors now and we're looking at this happened yesterday. And by the way, where was she? She was on her way to 13. So she had already played now 13 other holes, counting 18 the day before. And then because wasn't she on 17? I think she was on 17, we said, on Saturday. So she's played 13 more holes. But 13 holes ago, you did something wrong and it was in the other round. So now you signed an incorrect scorecard, et cetera, et cetera. You are almost essentially making it mandatory to do that to everybody, not just one person whose marker just happened to be on TV with an up-close view of it. It was just by sheer dumb luck. You would have to, in the interest of fairness, go back and watch every one of the rest of the putts that you mentioned, or at least any one of them where the ball was marked. Maybe somebody had a gimme and they didn't bother marking it. They went up and tapped it in, like she could probably have done, by the way. It was a 12-inch putt. You'd have to go back and make sure that there is a camera on every single putt and watch every one of them to make sure that nobody moved their ball a quarter of an inch or an eighth of an inch closer.
Well, that was my point, and the point is there is a camera on every single green. They are watching every single putt for the whole tournament because it's on TV, a major. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, well, no. I'm not saying there's not a camera. Hold on, Dave.
Every putt.
Hold on, Dave. Yes, there is a camera on every green, but they're not showing every putt because not everybody's putt matters. They're not going to show the 13th place person's putt.
That's true, but they do have it on film.
Well, I don't think they do. I don't think they do, is what I'm saying. Now, I could be wrong, too. So maybe somebody who's in televised sports can tell us this. But here's what I'm picturing, okay? I'm picturing TV crews on each of the greens. But it's kind of like when the director makes his decision on what we're showing right now, what we're airing right now, the other ones aren't necessarily recording. Unless they're going to go to that one in a hurry, they may not be recording. That camera may be off until they say, okay, flip on 17 now. All right, flip on 13 now. They've got a 20 footer for par here. And they're only flipping them on when they're actually using them on screen. I don't know that they're recording them if they're not actually airing them.
You're correct. I don't know how it works. My understanding of it was they basically there's somebody up in that tower on every green and they're filming anyway. Why wouldn't they just film every putt on there? What else are they going to do? They watch. They're sitting there all day waiting for some key player.
Come to think of it, though, I honestly don't think they have cameras on every green. I don't think they do.
I thought in a major, the women, they do. I do believe for a major. But that, like
if somebody, if somebody can verify that, I'll apologize for my... Yep. Yeah,
no,
yeah,
that's fine. Me too. Me too.
Yeah, so, I'll apologize if I'm wrong on that. But I'm just thinking. I think they have a number of crews that go with, the leaders or bigger stories or that sort of thing, and they'll follow them almost T2 green. I don't know that they have 18 different crews with 18 cameras on each green. Because obviously, you're going to have multiple people putting at the same time. They may be putting on 13 at the same time. They're putting on 16 and on 4.
Okay, well, I'll let you go. And I think as a local sports guy, though, you've got to figure out who Lexi Thompson is.
Yes, I do. You're right. I mean, I'll admit it. I don't pay attention to the LPGA.
Yeah, we have a big ladies tournament here.
I know, and I broadcast from it. We broadcast a show from it every year. I did it last summer, and I'll do it again this summer. But, I'm being honest. During the season, during the regular LPGA Tour season, I pay about as much attention to it as I do on the WNBA season. It's just that, I'm a guy sports fan, and it's just not top of my priority list until they come to Toledo or into Sylvania.
Me too. I'm a LPGA fan when they come to Toledo most of the time too, but I do at least keep track of
that's it. Well, good for you. Good on you, man. And I appreciate, call me anytime and educate me on the state of the tour because I'm probably not going to pay attention and see it until I see the leaderboard or not the leaderboard, the money leaders and then the leaderboard when they're actually in Sylvania.
Well, I hope somebody finds out for us if there's a camera on every hole, whether green or not. I hope somebody figures that out and
yeah, that's a good, it's a very good question. Maybe we can dig into that ourselves. Thank you, Dave. All right. I appreciate the call. Appreciate that. Yeah, Jim or Frank, maybe somebody can make a call. Maybe call 11 or 13 or one of the TV guys and find out if they know when the networks broadcast, the major events. Is there an actual camera at every green? 18 different cameras and crews at every green? Or if it's just they got several cameras strategically placed, and they make the decision which one they're going to turn on or which one they're going to focus on, which greens based on which shots.
You know, it is a darn good question, and I truly, especially for the LPGA, I certainly don't know the answer to that, although trying to think back when I was cruising around the course at Highland Meadows last year for the marathon, I don't remember seeing cameras on the couple of greens I was constantly passing by. Now, of course, I'm going to accidentally...
Now, of course, that's not a major, so that's...
Although I'm going to keep an extra eye on this probably when we get to July.
We will, because now we're curious.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to remember, how many cameras are in use during an average NFL game?
Oh, geez. I've heard this number before, but I'm blanking on it.
I think it's around 13, 14 cameras
that they use.
So they can get so many different camera angles because of, obviously, they use replay in the National Football League.
Right.
So they need all of those different looks. I would be shocked. Now, bear with me when I say this. This is not meant to be sexist or discriminatory in any way, okay? But being that the NFL is a multi-billion-dollar industry, I can certainly see them putting 13 cameras around a field.
Sure.
The LPGA Tour, hell, even the PGA Tour, I cannot imagine 18 cameras, more than there are for an NFL game, one at every green. And if you think about it, they also have them at every tee box.
Yeah.
I mean, they also obviously show shots, I should say, from every tee box at one point or another. You know, everybody's tee shots. And then they got cameras in the fairway. You know, and a lot of these are just towers, and they're just zooming in from one place to another. I cannot believe that they have them in every green. And if they don't have them in every green and every tee box, then they don't have every single shot on camera.
True.
On film, as the caller said.
Right.
Which means, of course, then the whole idea of, hey, let's check everybody's, you can't do. And it's a significant disadvantage for the leaders then, whose every shot, from tee shot to approach, to chip to putt, everybody's shot, if you're a leader, is going to be on camera, and nobody's on couches. I think Golic this morning called them slappies. Slappies sitting at home in their Barco loungers eating Cheetos isn't going to be able to call in and make a rules change, or not a rules change, but report a rules violation. Let me go to Maumee. Dave, thank you for your patience. Dave, you're on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Yes, sir. You're on the air. Dave, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. About this situation, I think the rules committee people are the ones that are to blame, because they don't want to be held accountable at all. They just want to put everything out on the player. So if there's an incident that comes up, it's all on the player, and they'll review it. But they should have nipped this in the bud maybe 2 or 3 years ago, but definitely last year for the Dustin Johnson incident.
You're right. This is hard though, because this goes back to the history of golf.
It's not hard at all. All you have to do is say, hey, no more emails, no more call in, no more of this.
Oh, no, I agree with that. I agree with that. They need to stop that immediately. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the rules officials not wanting to take the blame and putting it on the player. And what I meant to say when I said that's hard.
Well, no, they didn't make a decision. A definitive decision last year. All they said, you just won't be disqualified.
Right.
We'll just have a penalty, but we don't know if it could come up at any time, so you better watch yourself.
That's
insane. Jeez.
Yeah, it is.
Everybody's
copying
paranoid.
Out, too. It is copping out, and they're relying on the history of the game where everybody reports their own violations, and if you ground your club and you realize that, oh, no, you know, whatever it is that you did, you've got to report that yourself, and that relies on the history of the game, and if somebody doesn't, then they take
well,
the fans.
It was just so foreseeable.
What do you think would happen if what I said earlier? Hold on, Dave, I'm asking you a question. What do you think would have happened if it hadn't been a fan on TV, watching on TV, and if it had been somebody in the gallery who said, I don't think her ball was put back in the right spot? Do you think they would have said, We're going to go to the cameras now and double-check that, if a fan just on the spot said that.
Yeah, I think they would, especially if they're
I can't hear. I can't hear Dave. I don't know what happened to his
everybody,
volume.
But
there he is. Please say that again, Dave. You faded out on me. I couldn't hear your answer.
I said no, because you've got so many people there. You think they're going to listen to 100,000 or one person in 100,000 in a football stadium?
My answer would be no. You're not going to. But yet they're listening to somebody on TV who's watching it on TV.
Well, yeah, they're always waiting for the replay to throw their red flag out. That's what they're waiting for. But when it came to making this decision that you wouldn't be disqualified, they should have made a point that you aren't going to get an extra two-stroke penalty for signing an incorrect scorecard.
Exactly. Well, and quite frankly, in my opinion, and this is what I think Golic was making the point this morning, too, if the rules officials miss it, and even if the goofy fan who called it in or emailed it in waits until the next day, it's too late. Game over.
Exactly.
That round is history. Yeah. Now her score is her score. If we didn't catch something in time, we can't go back and retroactively change it. That's the one thing that I think really needs to be clarified.
Well, bottom line is Bob Golic is right, or Mike Golic is right. Yeah. They just need to stop the call-ins and the emails.
Exactly. Change your email address and don't give it out to the public. No more, no more email fan, you know, LPGA fan emails. Tell us what you think of the tournament. No more of that. Just get rid of it, wipe it out, or at least have nobody checking it, because it's just simply ridiculous to let, like you said, one person in the gallery wouldn't be able to convince a rules official to say, okay, you know what, since you say so, I'll go check it out. One person in the gallery wouldn't be able to get that done, so one person watching at home shouldn't be able to get it done either. Thank you,
well,
thank you, Dave.
Have fun in Cleveland, Bob.
Appreciate the call, my friend. Thank you. Troy is in BG. You are on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. Hey, Troy, go right ahead, sir.
Hey, thank you. You know, first of all, the cameras may be on every green, but not if the viewers, millions of viewers, aren't seeing them because they're not on TV. And there's no way they're going to go back and review every putt.
No, you were right. They wouldn't. But you know what? In the interest of fairness, they should go back and review every ball marking, not necessarily the putt, but every ball marking, and determine, did the person put it right at the base of their ball marker, or was it a little bit in front of it, a quarter of an inch, an eighth of an inch, and therefore, two-stroke penalty. And then if you don't notice it until the next day, if we review it on TV or, I mean, on videotape the next day, and then it's a four-stroke penalty. That's the thing. I feel like Lexi Thompson was taken advantage of because she was the leader. And if they're going to watch everything that she does, then they ought to be able to watch everything that everybody does.
You can correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't, when Tiger was going through this, or maybe even somebody else, didn't they give them the opportunity to view what the complaint was about and then determine whether there was a penalty or not themselves? It just seems like they automatically looked at it, rubber stamped it, penalty, and you signed the scorecard wrong. So there's two more without any input from her.
That's correct. She has no input in it whatsoever because she signed the scorecard. Their feeling is, if you did something wrong, it must come to your realization yourself before the end of the round. And if you report it, we'll say, thank you for your honesty and your sportsmanship in our game. There is a two-stroke penalty for that, but there will not be a four-stroker because she did not, it would have been before she signed her scorecard. So if she self-reports that mistake, then it is only the two. But the fact is she couldn't self-report it because she didn't know she made it. She just put the ball back down. It looked from her vantage point, obviously, and anybody who's played the game knows, you put the ball down right at the edge of your marker and you think, I'm fine. And if it's a hair up and you don't realize it, my God, you know, it takes a super zoom lens in order to really zoom in and see that it is a little bit in front of the marker from some idiot sitting at home.
Well, and just like any other replay, if you have to slow it down in slow motion to determine it, that takes the human factor out of it.
You just brought up another element to all of this when you talk about the human factor. I'm not saying that we can't use technology to get calls right. Because I don't mind, you know, instant replay in baseball now. You know, the kind that if it had been in existence back when, who was the kid from Detroit who threw the, would have been a perfect game?
Galarraga.
Armando. Yep. Armando Galarraga.
You could have played that and fast-forwarding got that one.
I know, right? It was such a bad call. But if you can use technology to right a terrible wrong on the spot, I'm okay with that, even though it, quote, takes the human factor out of it. But my point is, if you are going to use the technical stuff and take the human element out of it, then what the previous caller said is true. You've got to look at video of everybody's ball marking, everybody's ball replacement, to make sure that everybody's is right where it's supposed to be, because a quarter inch is very easy to miss.
So what would they have
essentially
done
what this would be? And if you don't, if you're going to do it for one, you've got to do it for all.
So what if they would have done it if it was today, and they figured out she did this in their yesterday's round, and the tournament is over?
Yeah. Would they take the trophy from her now and say you're four strokes worse than what you finished? No, I mean, nobody knows the answer. Nobody knows the answer. Hell, the national guys at ESPN said that this morning. Greeny and Golic said, you know, what's the statute of limitations? And is it a day? Is it the next day? Is it the day after that? I don't know that this has ever been broached before. You know, what if the emailer had done this, you know, the day after the tournament ended and said, look at this clear evidence of a violation? Would they have acted, or would they have then said what they should have said this time, which is, thanks, sorry, it was missed, tournament's over, see you next year? That's really what they should. That's what I suspect they would say, and it's what they should have said this time.
Thank you.
Troy, hey, thanks for the call, my friend. I appreciate it. I'm so glad we're talking about so much golf today, at least in the first hour and a half of the program, because it gives me another opportunity to remind you about FanDuel and fantasy golf. You've got to look, Masters starting on Thursday. This is a tremendous opportunity to get yourself involved in fantasy golf with FanDuel. If you like winning cash prizes and you love golf, well, this is the perfect opportunity for you. Here's what you do. Pick eight golfers. Do it by Thursday morning when they tee off. Stay under the salary cap. You got a certain amount you can spend, right? Not your money, just fictional cap money. And then you score points with your golfers for eagles, birdies, pars, and more. Tournaments start at just $1. That's right. Contests start at just $1, so there's something for everybody. You watch your score live, and you win cash prizes. And by the way, starting on Thursday, there's the $750,000 Golden Eagle Golf Tournament with $100,000 going to the first place winner. That one only costs $4 to enter. So here's what you want to do. You want to submit your lineup before tee off on Thursday morning, and then you watch your cash roll in as your golfers do their thing at the Masters. All right, this is a tremendous thing. By the way, baseball is underway too. As you know, even though it's a washout to start right now in Chicago with the Tigers, baseball is underway. That means daily fantasy baseball is available to you as well at FanDuel.com. To get started, all you got to do is we're going to give you this, by the way, the FanDuel Combo 5-Pack. It's valued at up to $50, and you get it free. That's five free entries to a combination of 50-50 beginner contest. All you got to do is finish in the top half, and you win cash. That's right, five free opportunities to start. To get your five free entries, go to FanDuel.com, click the Join Now button, and type in my last name. It's France, F-R-A-N-T-Z. That's F-R-A-N-T-Z at FanDuel.com. Void where prohibited. Let's play fantasy golf together at FanDuel. Let's get about him the Hour Sports Center right now. Come back, get a few more phone calls, talk a little bit about baseball, talk about tonight's national championship game. I know who my favorite team is in this showdown tonight. The question is do I think they will win? They might be two different answers, and I'd like your picks for tonight as well. Will it be Zags, or will it be UNC avenging last year's heartbreaking, crushing last-second shot loss? All of that coming up right here on The Ticket.
The Extravaganza right now by calling 866-240-1065. Now back to the Bob France Extravaganza on 1065 The Ticket.
I'm just putting a question on our Twitter feed, and I'm wondering if there should be a third choice on this. Frank Argano or Jim Cushlin, tell me. And it's okay. A very simple one. Should PGA or LPGA officials ever listen to fans reporting rules violations? And so far, my two choices on the poll are yes, rules are rules, no, fans should shut up, or three, should there be a third choice on here? Should there be a depends on circumstance, or maybe if there's not enough rules officials on the course or anything of that nature?
How did it ever come to this?
In other words, should there be a maybe of any kind?
Yeah, I like Frank's maybe of any kind.
What was that, Frank? I missed
it. I said, how did it ever come to this should be an option.
That's probably a good one.
Because maybe my answer to this, Bob, is biased, but to me, yeah, a yes and a no is fine. There is no middle ground on this one. And to me, I mean, again, maybe I'm biased in my answer, but my answer is no, fans should not be able to change actual outcomes on the field because of something they saw. That's just silly. I'm sorry. To me, there shouldn't be a third option. But if there's going to be, I like Frank's suggestion.
I'm with you. I'm with both of you. I agree. I shouldn't say both of you because Frank said maybe how do we come to this. But I think you're really saying that, no, this is just it's yes or no. To me, if a gallery member couldn't talk a rules official into changing something because they're there as a fan, chances are the rules official would turn to them and say, will you shut up? This has nothing to do with you. This isn't your tournament. I'm the referee here. I'm the official here. Will you shut up? That's what I think a gallery official, or I should say an on-course official, would say. They'd tell the gallery member just to shut up.
Yeah, and this is on top
of
that.
If that's what they would tell them to do, then I think that's what we tell the fan who's emailing in to do. Maybe you hit reply, say, hey, thanks for watching our tournament. P.S., get a life. Thank you. You know what I mean? If they did something like that.
No, I'm with you on that because we kind of laid out that scenario when we started talking about this last hour. And the thinking was, even though in that scenario, the gallery, the guy in the gallery who sees it, that they shouldn't do it. The only saving grace relative to the situation we're talking about is at least then it would be corrected right then and there and not waiting a day, but you still shouldn't do it. So if your opinion is you don't listen to the gallery guy, then you're sure as heck better not be listening to the fan emailing and not taking care of it to the next day.
Exactly. That's the next day, and that's the worst part about it, too. Absolutely terrible. All right, hey, I want to touch on something real briefly since we're going to talk college basketball here a little bit and get our picks on Gonzaga and North Carolina. I cannot say how happy I am and excited I am for Patrick Ewing.
Good call.
Patrick Ewing was one of my very favorite players growing up. There have been so many stories written about Patrick Ewing that I really hope people study a little bit on this guy. I mean, if you're over 35, you probably remember a little bit about Patrick coming up as a, you know, he was born in Jamaica. He went to Cambridge, Ringen Latin School. It's kind of an elite prep school in Massachusetts. When he had a very unique look when he came up as a basketball player. The shape of his face, the shape of his jawline, just a different kind of a look. And he wasn't a very outgoing, talkative guy. He was incredibly menacing. I mean, a shot blocker extraordinaire, the likes of which basketball hadn't really seen in a long, 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 long time. He came in and was the heartbeat of what would come to be known as Hoya paranoia. And he scared people. 7 feet, 230 pounds of intense glaring and fury. And because and I'm trying to be careful how I say this, but it's not new what I'm saying is. It might be new for younger listeners. But if you were watching college basketball in the early 1980s when Patrick Ewing came up and when they won they went to two straight championships, one against Houston where he outplayed Hakeem Olajuwon, then lost to Villanova in one of the most incredible upsets of all time in college basketball history in the championship game in 85. Older fans know this. Patrick Ewing was thought to be stupid. And it was a complete judgment of him based solely on appearance. He was referred to, they would hold up, there was, I think it was a 30 for 30, or it might have just been documentary.
You're reminding me of it. It was in the 30 for 30, the Requiem for the Big East episode.
That's what it was. Thank you. Because I didn't think they did a whole 30 for 30 on Patrick.
I know exactly where you're going with this, and I remember this.
Yeah, I didn't think they did a whole 30 for 30 on Patrick. It was in the Requiem for the Big East. Okay.
Yep.
He was thought to be stupid because of how he looked. He had a look that was, I think part of it was racist. It was a little bit of racism. It was a little bit, like I said, just the shape of his face and his jaw and the fact that he didn't talk very much. And fans in other arenas around the Big East and around the country would hold up signs calling him a caveman, calling him a Neanderthal, calling him like a Cro-Magnon man, all these kinds of terrible things. And to say that he handled it with class and grace is an understatement, because he never, to my knowledge, and even in watching the, you know, because I saw this live, Jim. You were probably too young. You didn't.
Yeah, I did not see it live.
You saw this just on the 30 for 30?
Not just that, but I've seen it in the various clips since.
Yeah, okay. So I watched it live, and so watching that Requiem for the Big East 30 for 30, it brought back some memories to me. And I remember hearing, because I'm a little biased here, because I was a huge fan of his. It all started with an article I read in Inside Sports magazine. Older fans will remember Inside Sports. You know, there used to be, long before ESPN, the mag, there was Sports Illustrated, there was Sport. Just, that was the word sport. I had a subscription to that when I was a kid, and Inside Sports. And I'm 99% sure this one was Inside Sports, but there was an article in there before his freshman year that was headlined, "The Wooing of Patrick Ewing." I've talked about this before. If you've been listening to me for a while, you know this, but I don't want to be repetitive. But for those who didn't hear it, it was called "The Wooing of Patrick Ewing," and it was all about the recruiting process for this 7-foot, nightmare, kid from Jamaica, or Jamaican-born kid who was going to come in to take college basketball by storm. And I read the story as a 13-year-old kid, I want to say, because this would have been, what, 82, I think? 82? Yeah.
Yeah, 82.
It was like my 8th grade year. I was an 8th grade kid. And I read every bit word of that article. And this is no internet then, right? This is all you get. You absorb everything in print that you can get your hands on before the internet. Young sports fans today can watch whatever they want anytime they want on their little screen.
And I'm in the bridge gap, because I do remember doing exactly that for at least a chunk of time before the internet became what it was. So I do know. I'm serious. I do remember that. That's why I have actual encyclopedia, sports encyclopedias, the big books instead of that awesome website. Yeah, I still have those.
Well, here's, because I read that article so thoroughly and loved this kid so much. I mean, to me, he wasn't a kid. He was a god. I'm 13 and he's on his way into college, right? I mean, he's a proverbial sports hero to me, And I remember becoming a Georgetown fan instantly when he got there. And then I became a fan of Sleepy Floyd and Michael Graham and Reggie Williams, David Wingate. I can name most of those guys from those Georgetown teams because of Patrick. And I would go to school. And my friends and I, these are my high school years now, in 83 and 84 and 85, when they lost in 85, that was my the spring of 85. That would have been my spring of my junior year. And my friends would make fun of me, and they would be, again, dare I say, a little bit racist. I don't know that it was all driven in race, but it was just his look. And they said the same thing that the fans who would hold up signs at games said. They'd say, "Oh, you mean the caveman, or the Neanderthal, the idiot who, how did he even get into Georgetown? He's an idiot. Look at him." It was terrible. And so fast forward now to here we are today. Patrick Ewing has been named the head coach at his alma mater at Georgetown. It is a head coaching opportunity that is long, long, long overdue. He has been a very dutiful learning assistant at the NBA level for a number of years now. He's been struggling and asking for interviews when NBA coaching jobs become available. He never gets an opportunity. And I think that here we are, 35-plus years later, I guess 35 years since he came into college, which would have been 82, 35 years later, I think he still fights the "he's Patrick Ewing, he must be dumb" stereotype. And as that 30 for 30 you were talking about, Jim, Requiem for the Big East, pointed out, nothing could be further than the truth.
Right.
He's an incredibly intelligent man, first of all, as a man. Second of all, his basketball IQ is up there with anybody's. And he's a very, very well-regarded NBA assistant.
Yep.
But he's not seen as being that guy.
Yeah,
that
you're right.
Would be a good NBA head coach. And so now that he, Georgetown just let go of John Thompson III, son of legendary, Patrick Ewing's old coach, John Thompson. the big scowling, menacing, towel over the shoulder coach of the towering, menacing Georgetown team from those years.
Who, if I remember correctly, you said something earlier, also true about during all that, the guff he would get when he was at Georgetown, and he handled it with a whole bunch of class. Wasn't it John Thompson who at one point, because of those idiots in the stands, said we're not bringing our team out on the court unless you get rid of them?
That was featured in that 30 for 30 you're
right.
talking about.
Okay.
So he very much looked out for Patrick. John Thompson did. No doubt about that. But at any rate, you know, they just fired eventually after about 10 years of kind of a little bit underachieving, I think. You know, John Thompson III maybe just kind of had that job because John Thompson is still sort of the coach emeritus.
Yeah, that's putting it lightly. Georgetown is not anywhere close to what they should be.
Right. You know, for being that kind of a program for as long as they were. But anyway, they've hired Patrick Ewing now, and I just could not be happier for him. And it could not be more justified and deserved. And I, God, hope he does it. I don't want any of the stereotypical nonsense that was thrown at him for all of these years to be given any credibility whatsoever by them struggling. I hope he turns them back into a national power. And even if he, you know, and I don't know what kind of a recruiter he'll be. He's never done it. So, you know, he'll have to probably bring on some experienced college coaches who know the recruiting game inside now to fill out his staff. But I just hope they're successful. And I hope success isn't defined by he has to win a national championship or not. I hope he just has success enough to say, see, you know, I told you I can do this. This game is the back of my hand to me. I know this game inside and out because I think he deserves that chance.
Actually, at the rate Georgetown's been playing the last couple of years, I say he's a success if within two seasons that team's back in the tournament because they were nowhere near it this year.
Yeah, not this year or last year. I mean, I think John Thompson II did have a couple of tournament runs.
Yes,
in 10 years to the Sweet 16.
Yep.
I want to say Sweet 16 is as high as he got.
Yep.
Which is good.
They kept having high seeds and kept getting upset. The most well-known of which was the Florida Gulf Coast, the 15. That was against Georgetown.
That's exactly right. I saw him. You know, so that just kind of gives us where he's got to go and where he's coming from. But to kind of finish this off, the point that I'm trying to make about why I'm so happy for him, Chris Mannix, who used to be a Sports Illustrated and he's now with Yahoo Sports,
mm-hmm.
he tweeted 20 minutes ago, the following. Talked to an NBA coach about Patrick Ewing. Quote, this is what the NBA coach told Chris Mannix, so you understand my use of quotes here. Quote, take his name off the resume and he would have been an NBA coach years ago. He has earned this, end quote. So that tells me the stereotype about dumb Patrick Ewing
still there.
Is still there. 35 years after he came into Georgetown. And I find that appalling. And again, I don't like to play racism cards. It's really bothersome to me when people use it as their first choice answer. To me, it should be the last resort and only if 100% eminently provable, because it's a terrible thing to call somebody a racist. So I'm not calling any individual a racist here. But I think that overall, the stereotype that was built by a lot of those idiot college fans holding up signs back in 1982, 83, 84, 85, I think that was a little bit, you know, had to do with his appearance and thus his race. And I think for 35 years, that terrible, terrible stain has been applied to him ever since. And if some of it is race-based or if all of it is race-based or if none of it is race-based, I guess we'll never really truly know, but I can suspect that it was. It's a terrible injustice, and I'm very happy for him, and I hope he has a phenomenal career as the head coach at Georgetown.
Well said.
All right, that's all I want to say about that, and as we are coming up on the top of the hour and drive time, I do want to get our predictions now for the national championship game tonight. I did not have either one of these two teams in the final. What am I saying? I'm sorry. I get so confused by everything broke. My final four was Duke, Arizona, Oregon, North Carolina. I got the North Carolina and the Oregon right, and then I had the final being Duke versus North Carolina. So
that
I did have one of these teams in the final, but I did not have Gonzaga. So Gonzaga surprised me to be here. I'm so happy for them. I'm rooting for them, but I don't know if I'm picking them. Who are you picking, Chris?
I want Gonzaga like you, but my brain is telling me I should pick Carolina in this one, so I'm going with that.
What about you, Frank Argano?
Yeah, I picked North Carolina to get to the championship game, so I'll have them winning it. I think they'll out-rebound them, and that'll be it. And out-coach. I like Roy Williams.
Well, I'll tell you what. I also picked North Carolina to get there, which should be, by your logic, I should say, well, then, since I picked them to be there and I didn't pick Gonzaga to be there, then I might as well stay with North Carolina. And I'm going to say just the opposite. Nope. Because I was too stupid to trust 34-1 or 33-1. What were they going into the tournament, to Gonzaga? Because I was too stupid not to trust them, and they proved me wrong by getting to the final, then guess what? They're going to prove me wrong by winning the damn thing. I'm rooting for Gonzaga, and I'm going to pick Gonzaga. Mark Few gets that elusive championship. It's a great story for college basketball, especially for mid-major type schools and conferences. That's what I see happening. That's what I want to happen. It's going to be a fun one tonight. And by the way, if the last calendar year is any indication, every major championship has been decided going down to the wire. The NCAA championship football game with Clemson over Bama. Yep. The basketball game last year with Villanova over Carolina. The Super Bowl with the incredible comeback in overtime. The World Series, 10th inning of the 7th game. The NBA, the Cavaliers and Kyrie shot coming back from down 3-1. Every final has been buzzer beater, last second, tremendous glory in the last calendar year. I expect a phenomenal game tonight. And guess what? We'll react to it tomorrow right here on The Extravaganza. Stay where you are. Drive Time is coming up next right here on The Ticket.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.